Through 25 seasons, 4,561 episodes, I believe The Oprah Winfrey Show was one of the greatest classrooms in the world.
I really never thought of it that way.
The aha moments, the breakthroughs, the LOLs, the connections, the occasional ugly cry.
I miss him so terribly. I miss him every single minute.
The moments that mattered. The eye-opening life lessons.
Never allow them to take you somewhere else.
I'm bringing them back. It's time to open the vault. I've personally chosen these classic episodes to share with you again.
Every single person you ever will meet shares that common desire. They want to know, do you see me? Do you hear me? Does what I say mean anything to you?
You are listening to The Oprah Winfrey Show, the podcast.
All of these paintings are all self-portraits of one woman painted by some of the 20 different personalities that live inside her head. Some are children, some are older, some are male, some see themselves as heavy, some look lonely. And one holds the key to why her mind split into 20 pieces. Her story is like her life. It's layered and at times really heartbreaking and unbelievably fascinating. And we're going to talk to her in a few minutes, but we were inspired to tell her story because of the impact that we still feel from a guest who sat right across from me 20 years ago. I'll never forget, Trudy Chase, the woman with 92 personalities. I talked about her on our 20th anniversary DVD. Let's take a look back at May of 1990. This small baby girl was born whole, but was not allowed to remain safe for very long because at the age of 2, Trudy Chase was brutally raped by her stepfather and was continually abused until she ran away at the age of 16. Trudy Chase dealt with her pain by splitting into several different personalities. 92 distinct people living within one mind. She calls them her troops. Trudy Chase, the real Trudy Chase, underwent years of therapy. And most of that therapy...
I had just gotten comfortable with the idea myself of my own abuse. And interviewing Trudy Chase and describing what had happened to her was the first time I really connected the dots of how profound the manifestation of abuse can be in other people's lives. The way she shattered her personality and became a multiple is her way of protecting herself, her own little inner spirited child.
Who remembers the most?
We all share different ones, remember different sections.
Who holds the pain?
Rabbit.
What does she remember the most?
Him just being unforgivably cruel and hunting. He never really said anything nice to you. It was, you fat cow. No one is ever going to believe a word you say. So my best advice to you is don't say anything. So we didn't. We never told a soul.
So Trudy passed away earlier this year. She was 75. Later we'll hear from Trudy's daughter about what life was like inside their home. But now I want you to meet the woman behind those self-portraits. Like Trudy, we hope that her story is also felt for decades to come.
This is Kim Noble. She is a 49-year-old mother who lives just outside London, England. By looking at Kim, you'd never know how complex her life is. She's been diagnosed as having 20 different personalities. There's Judy, a 15-year-old bulimic. Salome, a devout Catholic.
She was a good Catholic woman, an evil daughter.
Even Ken, a depressed gay man.
I'm gay, but I'm not a transvestite.
All living inside Kim's head. Psychologists suspect Kim suffered severe trauma as a young child, which caused her mind to split into multiple personalities. She has what is known as dissociative identity disorder, or DID.
This body belongs to Kim Noble, and we share it. From the age of 14, we've been in and out of hospital. We was diagnosed with everything under the sun, from schizophrenia, anorexia, bulimia, post-traumatic stress, depression. They've just been through all the labels.
For most of the day, Kim's body is inhabited by the personality known as Patricia.
I'm the main personality that's around. I'm the one that keeps the house running, pays the bills, and looks after Amy, our daughter. Another personality probably takes over on probably about two or three times a day.
Kim's 20 personalities consider themselves to be completely different people.
Happy birthday.
So when it was Kim's 13-year-old daughter, Amy's birthday, many of the personalities gave her cards.
This one, a teenager at last, is from Ken. He wrote, "Have a brilliant birthday, love, from Ken." And three kisses. They also bought some of Amy's presents, because if it was just me, she wouldn't get as many. So you are lucky.
Yeah.
We're just so proud of her. She's just beautiful. And we're so grateful that she's in our lives.
When Amy was born, social workers took her away from Kim. They weren't convinced she'd be able to handle the pressures of motherhood, but Kim quickly proved them wrong. She has been raising Amy the last 13 years with help from a team of therapists and support workers.
They've developed an incredible relationship, which has been lovely to watch.
One of her therapists encouraged all of Kim's personalities to try painting.
Since painting, things have been a lot better because there's more control and there's a routine. And I think routine really helps us.
Dominant personality, Patricia, explains how each of the alters has their own unique artistic style.
Judy is a 15-year-old personality within the body, and she's frozen in time. The age of around 15, the body was overweight, and Judy stuck there. So she's always like on a diet because she believes she's 200 pounds. Missy is a child personality. She paints in a very energetic way. She also paints a lot with Amy. Missy will only use three colours, and that's red, black and white. Abby is another personality, and there's loneliness in her life. She enrolled online dating agency, so she's been out with some guys. I'm just hoping that they look as good as him, but I don't think so. Seeing all the paintings here reminds me of our first exhibition. And as I walked in and stood there, I was just overcome with emotion, you know, that actually this is the nearest thing, you know, we're ever going to get to being integrated.
So welcome, Kim.
Hi.
So who am I talking to?
Patricia.
Patricia.
Yeah.
Where is Kim?
I believe that Kim's asleep. Things got too much for her. So she just disappeared, and we have to take over the running of the body.
So you feel that you're just using her body?
Yeah, just borrowing it.
When did you realize that there were, or feel that there were other entities living in this body?
I thought what I was going through was normal, so I kept losing time. But at that moment, I thought it was because I was drinking too much alcohol. And I wasn't. I was having a glass of wine. I'd disappear. Somebody else would then take over the body. When I came back, I had the rest of the glass of wine or got another one. And I thought, every time I'm out, I'm drinking a lot. So that would affect my memory.
Every time you're out?
I'm sorry, out being in charge of the body, the main person, like who you're talking to now, is me, Patricia. Uh-huh. And the others are not in control of this body at the moment.
Do you know what the other alters do when you, Patricia, are not present? Are you aware of what everyone else is doing?
No, I'm not aware at all. It's like I've just gone to sleep and I'm only told by friends or my therapist, Amy, our daughter. They will fill us in with the missing time if they're around. Mm-hmm. If they're not around, then I can tell by the paintings. So if somebody's been painting, I can tell by the style who's been around. So I become a bit like a detective to find out what's happened during the missing time.
Now, to communicate with all of the other personalities, I understand your therapist sends separate emails to all of the alters. So if you get an email for, say, Ken or for Don, and you, Patricia, are at your computer, do you just hold that email and wait until they show up?
No, we've got all different email addresses.
And you all have different email addresses.
And I can't get into their... They've got their own password.
What's it feel like being you?
I've known no different. I'm me and they're them. So, you know, for me, because I'm not co-conscious and there's no talking of the other personalities in my head or anything, for me, I just feel like a singleton, meaning just me.
But when these other parts, you know, we all have different parts of ourselves, you know? And so when I've been tired and exhausted, I say to my staff, you know, we don't want Evelina to show up, you know? Or somebody's in a bad mood or a good mood or whatever. They're different parts of our personalities. Mm-hmm. So we experience different parts of our personalities showing up. Yeah. You experience a completely different personality showing up. Is that a good way to describe it?
It is, but I've also got my different parts as me.
So you have your different
me
parts...
as Patricia, I've got, you know, my days when I'm angry and in a bad mood and happy and sad. And so I'm completely whole as a person. And they also.
And they also. Are different people.
Yeah.
Does it feel like craziness sometimes?
I think it sounds more crazy than it feels.
You know, sitting here talking to you, you feel normal.
Yeah, completely. And, you know, I take myself as being normal. I am normal.
Except for we can go to commercial break and somebody else show up.
Yeah. And but then they'd be normal. And,
they'd be normal.
And they'd be in control of the body.
Kim Noble is a 49-year-old mom from London who lives with 20 different personalities. Kim has been diagnosed with dissociative identity disorder. Her 13-year-old daughter, Amy, has a unique relationship with many of them. She sees the alters come out at least 2 to 3 times a day. I'm sure that growing up, it has been an interesting growth cycle for you in a house with all of these different alters living inside your mother.
Yeah, it has been interesting. A lot. But I consider it as normal because I haven't seen any different. Mm-hmm. So it's quite normal.
When did you start to know that your mother was different?
I think I've been told right from the start.
Right from the start?
Yep.
Since you were a little girl?
Yeah.
What were you told?
I can't remember the actual words, but I was explained what DID was, and...
Who do you consider your mother?
The main personality I consider as mum.
And that is?
Patricia.
Patricia. Have you ever talked to or known Kim?
No, I don't think I have.
How many of the other personalities do you know?
I know all of them.
You know all of them?
But I
know...
And
can you tell them instantly when they show up?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't know who's there?
Yes, if they're new and I haven't seen them before or heard of them, then I would ask them who they are and that's how I get to build a relationship with them.
So to better understand Kim's mind, her therapist helped introduce us to more of the personalities. Amy is by her side as we go through this process. So, you know, Amy has seen and heard all of this before. It's a conscious decision by Kim and her therapist to not hold anything back from her daughter, Amy. Take a look.
Anytime the personalities come out, I'm afraid that I may never come back again.
With help from Kim Noble's therapist, Kim's alternate personalities come out one by one. First, dominant personality, Patricia, disappears, and Bonnie takes over. Bonnie used to be the main personality who took care of daughter Amy.
Hello.
Nice to see you. It's a long time, this.
I know.
Give me a kiss. Yeah, it's nice to see him.
Amy doesn't get to see Bonnie very much anymore. In the early years, the constant threat of having her daughter taken away by social services sent Bonnie into seclusion.
When Bonnie disappeared, I think I was about 7 or 8.
It got very stressful with social services were putting a lot of pressure on us, so I just couldn't take any more. And I just cracked up over it all, and that was it. I want her to just be happy and have a good life. So, I just pray that we don't affect her. But I don't think we have so far.
Knowing it's time for Bonnie to leave, she bursts into tears because she doesn't know when she will see her daughter again.
We can wait a minute.
A little while later, Ken emerges. He's 21 years old, homosexual, and doesn't acknowledge he is one of many personalities.
Hi, Ken. I'm Kirsten.
Ken thinks I'm one of his friend's daughters.
And why do you see a therapist?
People got problems with me being gay, so I see a therapist.
Who has a problem with that?
The outside world.
Do you date?
I haven't for a long time, but yeah, I've had some nice boyfriends.
When you look in the mirror, who do you see?
Me.
But
who do you see?
You're a man. When I look at you, I see a woman.
I'm not transvestite. This is strange. I'm gay, but I'm not a transvestite.
Okay.
I don't dress up in girls' clothes. I've got no boobs.
One of Kim's more tortured personalities is agitated when she comes out.
Evil. Evil.
Her name is Salome.
Hi, Salome. I'm Kirsten.
She's really evil.
Salome is a personality who rants and raves. She doesn't sit down. She's always walking around the room and not settled.
Salome is deeply religious and seems quite angry.
She was a good Catholic woman. Evil daughter.
What happened, Salome, to the good Catholic woman?
She died. She got killed. She died. That's it.
And I've
got to go now. Bye.
After Salome leaves, things get much calmer when the personality Dawn arrives. She's literally frozen in time and believes it's 1997, the year Amy was born.
Hi, Dawn. Nice to meet you.
Dawn doesn't realize Amy is her daughter. Dawn thinks she had a baby named Sky, who was taken away at birth.
Can you tell me about Sky?
Sky is my baby. And social services just took her away and put her up for adoption. And I can't have her back.
And so who is sitting next to you?
Oh, she's a friend, sir. Daughter. I mean, I think her name is good and I'm very fond of her. But it's not the same as having your own.
Amy, how does that make you feel listening to Dawn?
Great. Great. Did you see Sky? She would have left you.
So why were you crying there, Amy?
It's okay.
I felt
Rejected.
Rejected by the personality, Dawn. I can't imagine, you know, this seems like a very difficult life for you, but I can't imagine what this life is like for you, being a 13-year-old girl, and 13-year-olds just want to fit in, and they want to be like everybody else, and they want everybody else to like them. How are you coping living in this house when you heard one of the personalities, I can't remember which one, I think it was Bonnie, who said, we just want you to be happy, and we just want you to be okay. Do you feel happy and okay?
Definitely. I don't think if I was away, I wouldn't be happy.
If you were away, you wouldn't be happy. We have heard the term multiple personality disorder. Doctors now call that dissociative identity disorder, and experts believe that what happens is the mind actually splits to help victims of extreme child abuse or trauma disassociate from their horrific memories. We've been talking to Kim Noble, who lives with 20 personalities. Many of them express themselves through paintings. Now, over the years, Kim has been very guarded about her painful childhood, but her pet personality named Rhea Pratt may hold the key to what happened to her. Again, when you see the tape, you'll see Kim's daughter, Amy, is by her side. It is Kim and her therapist's decision to never hide any of Kim's past from her daughter.
So I have some of your paintings here, and I just wanted to know, what's your inspiration for some of these paintings?
Well, people have got to know what goes on, don't they? Just got to know. It's just these things happen. People don't believe they happen.
Are you painting from memories from your childhood?
Yes. These things happen. And children get hurt. It makes me very sad. They're not happy.
Can you tell me about yourself? How old are you?
I'm 12.
And what are some of your first memories of your childhood?
People have got to know this goes on because they've got to look after children. Because people don't believe it happens. And they've got smiles on their faces. Because they find it funny. So don't take sweets. Bad sweets. Good sweets. There's good sweets and bad sweets. So you just don't take the bad sweets. And they give you sweets. And then they zap you. But it's your fault, isn't it?
Why is it your fault?
Because you took the sweet.
So what do you think of the personality, Rhea Pratt, when you see that personality, 12 years old, talking about the childhood?
It makes me sad, but I haven't got those memories that she's got. So I'm hearing it like a third person. Mm-hmm. I don't hold the memories that she's got. And I don't think, you know, if I did, I probably would not be able to cope.
You wouldn't be able to cope. So you do not remember what happened to you as a child? You don't remember your childhood at all?
I remember parts of it, but not any abuse.
Who did you grow up with? Mother and father?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you think your mother or father or both did something to you?
They didn't do anything to me, no.
Do you have any idea who did?
Not me. I haven't had any abuse. I'm lucky not to have had any.
You, Patricia, abuse. The yes. personality, Patricia, yeah. Yes. So what personalities did have something done to them?
Rhea Pratt.
Rhea Pratt.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Mary Sue Moore is a clinical psychologist who is an expert on trauma and the brain. When you hear Rhea Pratt speak and you look at those paintings, what does she tell us about Kim, who carries all of these personalities?
The feeling that I have, the reaction to the artwork in particular, is that some aspects of experience are too unbearable for a person to survive. And when that happens, a part of the person can capture those memories and keep the rest of the person safe by holding on to those and isolating them. And it's a survival mechanism to allow the greater self to go on and function.
But to make this more understandable, because I know it is a very difficult thing to understand.
It is.
But there are multitudes of people who are watching. Many of you are in this audience who have also experienced abuse. And what happens to everybody who has been abused or traumatized in some way, whether it is sexual abuse or, you know, physical abuse or any other trauma, a part of you, you know, I've said this before with my own child abuse, a part of you dies, you know, a part of the spirit is killed when that happens. And there is a disassociation or repression that allows you to continue on and to do whatever else you're going to do in life. So we all understand it in that terms. Mm-hmm. When we're looking at Kim, it is just more severe. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
And for everybody who's had a difficulty or whatever, you repress that memory so that you can go on, and that memory is placed someplace else in your brain so that you can function. When it comes to somebody who has had severe trauma or abuse, that repression shows up in as different personalities again.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah. So DID is still a very controversial diagnosis, though. What is the debate? That this isn't real?
One of the things that I think happens is the way our brains work, what we've experienced, we can imagine. With DID, or multiple personality, as it used to be called, that is so far on the extreme because of the extensive and extreme abuse history that most of us haven't felt it before.
Yeah. So you can't relate to it.
Yeah.
That's why I was trying to make it relatable in terms of we've all experienced disassociation.
Right. That's exactly right.
You know, how many times have you driven home from work and you don't even know how you got to your house?
Yes. Yes.
So where were you when you were driving?
Yeah.
There was somebody drove the car, your body drove the car, but where was your head? Or you're sitting in a classroom or you're sitting in a meeting and you're someplace else and somebody says, where are you right now?
Yeah.
You know, to that degree.
That's right.
This is the extreme version of that.
And it's all about survival.
And it's about survival.
Yeah, it's all about survival.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. 2 decades apart, two moms have bravely shared their similar stories. Today, Kim Noble took us inside her life with multiple personalities. In 1990, Trudy Chase was one of the first to put a face on someone living with this disorder. She had 92 separate identities, triggered by years and years and years of extreme, horrific, unimaginable abuse that started when she was a baby. Our viewers have told us that Trudy is one of the most memorable and inspirational guests we've ever had on the show.
No. Do you feel like you lost whoever you would have been that day you were raped at 2 years old?
Well, she is no more. No more. The day we found that out, then I really thought we would go mad. Mm-hmm. Something has to give. You can't dump that much on a human being and not lose something.
It's been 20 years since Trudy Chase bared her soul. Sadly, Trudy passed away in March. Throughout the years, viewers of all ages have told us they were inspired by Trudy to break the silence about their own abuse. Erin Marin is one of those brave women.
After seeing a follow-up show that you had done with Trudy Chase and to hear her message of what she endured, it allowed me to be able to, the first time, cry about this, knowing I have nothing to be ashamed of. I was sexually abused from 6 to 8 by someone I loved and trusted, from 11 to 13 by a family member. And I was often carrying so much guilt, so much shame. And while it was nowhere near the type of abuse that Trudy had endured, it is something I can remember 20 years later, clear as day. It changed me from a strong, resilient, confident child to a very angry, hate-filled, self-destructive child, teenager, and young adult. The abuse took different parts of my own soul because two people that I knew had abused me. I feared the world I lived in. Finally came this breaking point where I was contemplating suicide, that ending my life would be the only answer to escape the pain that I had endured. I was so glad I had the opportunity to be home that day and catch that show. Seeing the two of you on national TV crying together about such a silent, hush-hush topic in our society, it changed something inside of me. It allowed me that day to finally come out of the shadows of my own darkness, to let go a lot of that anger and hatred, and realize that I was not alone.
Wow, that's really powerful. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Trudy Chase's daughter, Kari, is here. As you can see, really, I'm so moved by that. Your mom's life made a difference. And, you know, when you do these shows, you never know who is watching. And as you've spoken today, you never know who is watching and who will break their own silence because of what they heard from you today. Kari Ainsworth is the only child of Trudy Chase, a woman who lived with 92 personalities. Kari has never opened up publicly about what it was like growing up with her mother. Trudy passed away, as I said earlier, this year at the age of 75. So I was saying to Amy what it must be like to live in a house with 20 different personalities who all show up as different people. Sure. What was that like for you, being in a home with 92?
Yeah. It was heavy duty. It was a roller coaster ride. It was good. It was bad. But it's what I know is normal. Mm-hmm. It was.
When did you know?
I guess about teen, when I became a teen.
Mm-hmm. Amy's age?
Yeah, a little prior to that, 12. Mm-hmm. As she was starting to find out what was going on with her, why she was having time lapses, why she wasn't able to remember things. Mm-hmm. And she was starting to go through the therapy. Mm-hmm. Then my parents slowly introduced me to what had happened to her. I mean, of course, they didn't give me all the details until I got older, but yeah.
And so were you like Amy, never knowing who was going to show up, or was there a solid personality that was there most of the time?
No, I would come home from school not knowing who I was coming home to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we all have good days and bad days, so.
But as I was saying to Amy, too, I think it's so hard when you're 13. We all know, we all remember 13.
Yeah.
13 and 14, I think they're the toughest years of your life, actually.
Yeah.
Because you're just trying to figure out who you are and trying to fit in and trying to be okay and not wanting other people to talk about you. And how did you handle it with friends?
With friends, it was a little bit more difficult when I started to tell them what was happening. Yeah. A lot of them were not accepting, and the few that were are still my friends today, so.
Were you bullied? Did they say your mama's crazy?
Oh, yeah.
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 Because I think it's a big fear thing. We fear what we don't understand.
Did you ever meet, because I was asking Amy, Amy doesn't know Kim, she only knows Patricia. Did you ever meet the real Trudy Chase?
I think the real Trudy Chase had died, had just gone to sleep, had died, however you want to put it. So, no.
Brutally raped by when she was 2 years
old. 2 years old.
Did you ever meet the abuser, your mother's abusive stepfather?
No, I never did. I never did. It's probably a really good thing I didn't. Mm-hmm.
Was she, you know, after we did that show in 1990, was she happy that she had done that show?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think she wanted to let people know what's going on. Talk about it, get it out there. And for people who are being abused, talk. Find whoever you can and have a voice. And I think she wanted to be that voice for people to know that it was okay to talk and to step up and not hide.
Yeah. Wouldn't she be so pleased to know today that Aaron is one result?
Yeah.
Aaron, I understand that you demanded an apology from your abuser, did you?
I did. I was going through so much self-destructive behavior, self-injury, depression, you know, flashback, nightmares, that I wanted to let go of that anger and hatred and move forward and be able to forgive. And so this family member, I ended up corresponding for 7 months in letters with him until I got that apology. And it was—
Did he acknowledge having abused you, having done that to you?
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Very openly shared, you know, what he did, admitted his wrong. And I mean, if you'd like, I can read a piece of what he said in his letter.
Yeah, tell me, what did he say?
This was his final letter to me. It said, "I'm sorry for what I did to you a long time ago. My actions weren't thought out. I was confused and disoriented. I acted on behalf of just plain stupidity. I wish I had never hurt you the way that I did. I wish I could go back into my past, stop myself and teach myself what was wrong with my actions. But I had to learn the hard way. And unfortunately, you were the one I abused. I am sorry for the past, and I hope you can forgive me. But if you cannot, I understand. I am sorry." And it was this letter that finally allowed me to come out of darkness and decide I wanted to be a face and voice on this silent epidemic, because like Trudy, like the millions of other that have suffered through this horror, we don't talk about it in our society. We are shunned, people are stigmatized, there's shame attached to this, and we don't educate children about this. We teach kids tornado drills, fire drills, bus drills. We put all this information into their heads. We teach them nothing on sexual abuse.
I know.
And that's why I went after a law in the state of Illinois and just recently got it passed by the Senate called Aaron's Law. It's a law that will demand education.
And what does the law do? Good for you.
And I plan to take this law national to protect children across this nation, because kids need to be educated on sexual abuse. They need the tools to speak up and
speak out. I think kids need to be educated, and I think parents need to be
educated. Yes, and that's also a part of it.
Yeah, I've been saying that for years. Thank you.
Hi, Oprah. I know Kari's sitting beside you, and I know she's been through a lot, but I just wanted to let her know that her mom's story inspired a 14-year-old girl to find her passion in life. Kari, I saw my very first Oprah show, and your mom was the guest. It was your mom who showed me how devastating and confusing sexual abuse could be for a child. I was shocked that these type of things were happening in other people's homes. Kari, your mom was a gift to me. In that moment, I realized that I wanted to help other people like her. Because of your brave mom, I was inspired to become a licensed clinical social worker. Your mom's legacy is that she had an impact on people like me. I can't thank her enough for helping lead me down this path and finding my passion and realizing that I'm here to help other people.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. What do you think when you see Aaron, and Aaron represents thousands of other people who saw that show, and now you hear this story?
Overwhelming.
Very overwhelming. Yeah. Your mom is somewhere smiling.
Yes, she is. She's right here.
Right here on your shoulder. What do you miss most about her?
Her amazing sense of humor. She had kind of a dark sense of humor. Mm-hmm.
I thought so too from the very first time I interviewed her.
Yeah.
But you gotta be able to laugh with 92 of you in there.
You know, laughter was one of the biggest things. Laughter is the best medicine. And she knew how to laugh. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to all of my guests today. Goodbye.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to The Oprah Winfrey Show, the podcast. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Oprah Show, the podcast. And I thank you for listening.